Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. Parker and Matt here, as always. And this week, we have a very special guest joining us. So we have Catherine Martin here. She works with Matt predominantly, trains with Matt, and she's going to be on today to tell a little bit of her story. So, Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Very excited to be here, guys.
Long overdue.
It is long overdue. I remember talking to her a long time ago about being on the podcast, telling her story, and finally we're here.
Yeah. Something about getting trainees on the podcast, there's a little bit of a challenge to that.
Scheduling.
Yeah, scheduling,
of course. And sometimes there's resistance,
yes,
as we found.
But, you know, Chris, good Lord, brain fart right now.
What? 57-year-old.
Yeah, this is called the 57-year-old brain. But anyway, I completely lost my train of thought, but let's go ahead and get into the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, Matt's really excited to get into the Chiefs talk this week because he gained a game on me. He picked the Chiefs accurately to lose last week.
Hey, you don't understand, okay? He's been two games ahead of me all season.
Well, because you predicted him to lose earlier in the year.
I did.
And you lost ground on me, and now you're trying to make it up.
Okay, you know, it's about being authentically, you know, not just a diehard fan and pick him every time.
No, my thing is, like, you give them the juju that you have. So, like, if you're not positive, then no positive outcome happens.
Give them the juju. So I use my pick for juju juice.
Okay. Are you a big Chiefs fan, Catherine?
I am. I'm from Chicago, so I grew up as a Bears fan. I will say I'm both. But, like, I'm
right now, it's tasty. Easier to be a Chiefs fan, though.
It's really hard to admit. Be a Bears fan right now.
Yeah.
But, no, I do love the Chiefs. I'm a huge fan.
Well, yeah, so last week, Matt predicted the loss. He was right. I had faith in our Chiefs, and they didn't come through for me. But this week, they are playing the Carolina Panthers. So I have a feeling I know how this is going to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to gain a game this week.
The Carolina Panthers are not so good.
No.
When it comes to their ability to play
football. What's their record right now?
Oh, maybe 2-9 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They're having a rough season. I'm going to take the Chiefs 30-13.
Catherine?
Chiefs, for sure. I'm going to go 27-14.
I'm going to say Chiefs are, even though Carolina Panthers stink, I still think Chiefs are going to play it close to the vest, and they're going to win 20-14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we all three got Chiefs win, so Matt can't catch me this week.
No, not this week.
Don't give that juju this week.
Oh, I do want to say, last week I was thinking I picked a 17-14 win, and it was actually, I had re-listened to that podcast, it was 20-17, so I was wrong.
Oh, your Broncos pick?
Yeah, my Broncos pick.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just the way I remembered it.
Well, we'll see how they do this week. I hope they get that win. If they lose, that's not good. So, now we move on to our Fit Focus segment, and this week we've got a headline that says, Front of Package Nutrition Labels Advance to White House. And what they're saying is the FDA has proposed a rule which would create front of package nutrition labels on food products in grocery stores. So currently, if you go to the grocery store, you're looking at the shelves, you're picking up an item. Usually it's either on the back or on the bottom, down in the corner, little bitty, small print nutrition label, right? And it's got all the nutrients and calories and macros and ingredients all jammed down in there, and it's like 4-point font, and you can barely read it, and you have magnifying glass, you know? So this is a proposal to bring the nutrition information on food more front and center.
Now, it has the little box with the lines, which it kind of talks about the percentages of protein, fats, and carbs, and vitamin A, vitamin D, and all that stuff. Then below it has the ingredients.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that this front of package nutrition label is that whole both of those components.
Yeah, so the entire like box of the label would move to the front of the package. It would have to be on the front of the package.
That would change the look of branding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot.
Coming from the marketing people.
Yeah, you guys.
Marketing people are like, what?
Yeah.
Just go back to the drawing board on that.
Yeah, they're not going to be happy about that.
But if you think about it, and I'll ask this for you guys marketing people, when you look at a product, you know, you're trying to sell people based on like that view of the front of the product. You want them mm-hmm. to pick it up. So how will that change things, having the nutrition label on the front?
Dramatically.
Yeah.
Dramatically. They're going to have to get creative with the colors and with the bordering, and they're going to probably make some. I could see them making their packaging bigger, so they can have both the front of the name of the product, what it is, and the label below it. So I can see packaging size changing to accommodate for this label. It depends on how little they make, you know, they could see if they allow them, they'll make that label really tiny.
Yeah, it's if they just move it to the front, but they still keep it down in the bottom corner and it's mm-hmm. hard to read and doesn't even really catch the eye, then it's not really going to make any difference.
Right.
But if it's front and center and the nutrition information is what's sort of selling the product instead of the colors and the name and the label and stuff, then I think that could be a big deal. It does say in this article that they haven't actually published the proposal on exactly what it's going to look like. They just know that it's moving it to the front of the package.
And I'm just curious that the FDA is the one that has proposed this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big fan of the FDA.
Not in its current state.
No. I mean, maybe it will be great under RFK running it or overseeing it, but you know, really, for me, it's not so much where the label is. It has more to do with what's on it and how it reads.
Well, because if you take the current nutrition label as it is and you move it to the front of the package, that still doesn't fix the problems with the nutrition label.
That's what, 100%. You know, that's not the big issue. For me, the big issue is, you know, as proposed and what we've researched, as the ingredients are listed on the underneath the box, it has all the different ingredients. And as you get down to the bottom, that's the smaller percentages of those ingredients. The ingredients at the top are the bigger portions of the product, or contents of the product. I would like to know what the percentages of those contents are. I would also like to know what's in natural flavors.
So, like, if the first ingredient is sugar, you would like to know what percentage of the total volume of the product is
yes.
sugar?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be very good.
You know, like, you know, a lot of our supplements have sucralose, I can never say that word, in the product, and it's always at the bottom. How much of it is in there? Is it 1%, 2%, 5%, 20%? You know, these are things that I think we're just as being fair-minded, because most of these things are cancer-causing or inflammatories that are in these ingredients. How much is actually in there? I think that's fair to the consumer.
I think that's fair. I do think there needs to be some sort of education on the what amount, not just the percentage of that ingredient, but how much is that relative to what people should be having?
Yes, 100%.
Because, like, a good example is salt. You know, 10 grams of salt versus 10 grams of sugar, very different. So you could say, well, it's got the same amount of salt as sugar. And salt's actually good for you to consume, but not 10 grams of salt.
Yeah.
Right? 10 grams of sugar is not good either, but, you know, it's not going to affect you very poorly. So some education on that too. Catherine, when you're in the grocery store and you're shopping, do you look at the nutrition labels?
Yes.
Think
sometimes.
Carefully here.
I will say sometimes, but I honestly don't always know what I'm looking at. So unfortunately, if I'm just making a decision between like two items, I might just see which calories are higher, and that's about it based on portion size. So
yeah, I look at the calories.
I can see the disappointment in Matt's face here.
Where do you shop?
Oh, God. I don't know. Anywhere. I feel like I go to Hy-Vee, I shop at Walmart, I shop at Aldi's.
I see you with a shovel and the hole's getting deeper.
Yeah. Look, I'm not great. I'm just going to throw that out there.
But, hey, you've done well, so I'm not going to throw too big of a fit.
What things do you look for? Just the calories, or do you ever go beyond that?
I don't know enough. I feel like that is one of the things that I would love to learn more, is just in general about nutrition. Yeah. I can tell you, like, yeah, eating a vegetable is going to be better than eating, you know, whatever processed canned food or whatever I can find is, but yeah, I just don't know enough to like really look into it. So
what would you like to see on nutrition labels that would help you understand more about what's in the product?
I like what you just said, which was knowing what the intake should be and then seeing how much of it is just from that food that you're buying right there. Because yeah, like you're talking about the sodium versus sugar, it'd be great. I don't know that, like, I know for the most part some of it, but not to the exact, like, data points that what's the amount that I should have a day. I don't really look into that, so.
The problem that I can see is then who sets those guidelines.
Yeah.
Because we already know that when it comes to protein content. Because the certain nutrients are listed and broken down by volume.
Mm-hmm.
Only certain ones. Your calories, proteins, carbs, fats, sugars, sodium. There might be a couple more, but I know those for sure. Trans fats, saturated fats, unsaturated fats, I think. So then they list percentages out to the side. And it's percentage of daily value, mm-hmm. which like how much you should be consuming in a day. Now, we've talked about before how the protein recommendation by the FDA of what you should get per day is significantly lower than what you should actually be getting.
It's significant, yeah.
So you could be eating a something that has 20 grams of protein, and they're going to say, oh, that's 50% of your daily protein intake. So then you get that, and you think, oh, I'll eat this as 50% of my daily protein. But that's not factually true.
Yeah, not even close.
That's more like 10% of your...
Well, I want to know what they're basing this off of. Right, if you're trying to maintain your muscle mass, is it going to be what the FDA offers? So, I mean, you know, I think you said it was like 60 to 80 grams.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there. I think it's even less than that. Yeah. They
so we're talking
recommend.
About full-grown adults. I mean, you know, and but there has been a push for the last 50 years to move us away from dairy and protein, and so I mean, this is not a surprise, but. You know, the point, the other thing is about the nutritional labels is there is ingredients in those labels that would be nice to know what they are, like caking agents, preservatives, all these different type of coloring, mm-hmm. all these different types of processed ingredients that are used to either keep the food looking a certain way as far as the color and texture and to preserve it long term. These are all the parts of processing that are the problem in our food. And people don't know. They don't know what these words mean. You know, so when they don't know what these words mean and they don't have time to do the research, you know, if you're going past two lines of ingredients, you're probably in trouble. So.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like a dog chasing its tail, too, because you read the ingredients list, just find out what's in it. But then you don't even know what a lot of these ingredients are, so then you got to figure out what's in those,
right?
To know what's, you know, like say it's the dye. You talk about the dyes. Well, okay, red dye 40. Cool. I know red dye 40 is in there. What's red dye 40? Right? How is red dye 40 made? What ingredients go into that? What processing goes into that? And even if you do the deep work to figure that out, then there's probably ingredients that go into that that you don't know what they are. You know, so you go down this rabbit hole that is never ending.
I think it's red dye number 40. That's I know it's one of the, and it's one of the red dyes, and I think it's 40 or number 5 that's made with parasites.
Yeah.
It's a bug that's crushed up, and that when the bug's crushed up into a powder, it's a red dye. And I'm like, that's disgusting.
It's so gross.
You know, it's in all our candy, it's in all our foods, and it's It's quite disgusting.
You know what I'm confused about and kind of upset about, Matt?
What's that?
Why did the FDA not consult the Loading the Bar podcast whenever they came up with this decision?
Man, I'm telling you, we'd have a different world right now if everyone consulted the Loading Bar cast. The stuff that RFK is talking about, we've been talking about for 3 years. So
that's true. Not all on this podcast, but no. We have been talking about it for some time.
Another thing to remember, if I don't know if you remember this, Parker, you talked about this on the 100 podcast a long time ago, that the labels are 20% off.
Yeah, they do have a 20% variance. So yeah. You can advertise up to 20% different than what the actual content is in your product.
That's right.
And that's completely legal. So if they come through and test your product and you claim it has 20 grams of sugar in it, but it actually has 24 grams of sugar, that's okay.
Yeah.
You could just keep the 20.
So what do you think they're going to do?
Oh, they're going to down it by 20%. So right. You might as well assume it's probably close to 20% more
exactly.
of the bad stuff.
Exactly.
And it could be 20% less of the good stuff, because either direction, 20%.
Well, and the 20% of the bad stuff gives you that, what's that, zing in on your tongue, like Doritos and cheese curls and stuff like that. It's like, oh, I can't put these down, right? That's that extra 20% making sure you get addicted to it. So,
yeah, a lot to watch out for.
Yeah, 100%.
What else do you think, anything else about food labels, Catherine?
Yeah, I think it would be great to have it. I think everyone, for me, maybe I'm not the masses, maybe I am, but they don't do me a purpose if I don't know what it is. So in general, just I need more research and understanding of what the hell is on the label, because right now I'm just seeing percentages and names, like you said, of things that I don't know what that means. I would have to go back and search everything on that label. Putting all of that on a label, though, however, is just too much in general. So
you know what, Parker? You know what Catherine needs to do? Go back and listen to all the episodes of Loading the Bar podcast.
It's fair.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, interesting stuff on nutrition labels there. I will say moving it to the front of the package is a step in the right direction. However, there's still going to be a long way to go.
Well, one thing on this that I see is, you know, they have the new, to play off Make America Great Again, they have Make America Healthy Again. Man, I'm going to say it's been, how long has it been since we've had a healthy America? The 50s?
Longer than that. I would say back when people still lived on some acreage and they raised a lot of their own food themselves.
Talking 100 years.
Probably.
That's pretty scary. Make America Healthy 100 years later. Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about all the diseases that have come to light the last,
oh yeah,
you know, at least 50, even 80 or 100 years. The cancers,
the cancers,
diabetes,
the cardiacs,
the heart disease,
yeah,
all mm-hmm. that stuff. Neurodegenerative brain diseases have really been more common lately.
Yep.
And it's just getting worse. We have to turn that trend around.
We got to, because we're basically probably one of the, if not the most unhealthy. I think some of the third world countries are healthier than we are.
That's very possible.
They might not have enough food, but what they do eat.
Yeah. You know? Well, I did see, this is a little off topic, but it was a chart of life expectancies by country.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed, it was mostly European countries and other first world countries, but it showed how a few decades ago we were all about the same, and then it showed where all these European countries kept going up, up, up in life expectancy, and the United States just leveled off.
Yeah.
And most of those other countries are up at like 84, 85, and the United States is still down in like 78. But 30, 40 years ago, we were all right around that kind of 78-ish range. So they're making improvements while we're not.
Well, here's the thing. It's like the last few years of American isn't quality of life.
Mm-mm. That's, not normally.
That's the problem. It isn't so much the life expectancy, which our life expectancy is shorter, but it's because our quality of life. I know a ton of people that once they hit like 55, 65, the next 20 years suck. You know, their quality of life is terrible, you know, and it's like, you know, we need to see more people. I mean, look at RFK. Guy looks great. you know, eats healthy, he works out constantly. That should be the standard, you know. And, you know, I have clients that come to me that are very, very deconditioned because of choices they've made, right? And never too late to come in and start working out. But the amount of time and effort it takes to condition that body after years of deconditioning is sometimes there are not enough years to do it, you know? So anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's move into talking a little bit with our guest here, Catherine. So first, Catherine, we're really excited to have you on the podcast. And it was the progress that you made working with us that we saw that definitely made me think, wow, we need to get you on the podcast. I remember working with you one evening and I was asking you a little bit about some of the things you did outside the gym to help. And you were talking to me about it. And I just thought, wow, I wish I had a microphone right here and was recording this because it's a fantastic. You put it so well and you have a lot of knowledge that I think people should hear that are also going through it right now. So definitely excited to get to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'd almost kind of go back because there was a time, I remember when you first came on.
Yeah.
And you and another client that you had similar issues going on. You had similar tastes. Mm-hmm. You had similar temptations because I remember one time you were progressing and she was struggling. And I said, you know what? You need to go talk to Catherine. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of talk about where you started and then, you know, what made the decisions like, I got to make a change and then go from there.
Yeah. So I used to be an athlete throughout like high school and college. I did like intramural sports. So I was always very used to like being in shape. And then it came time to figure it out for yourself, right? Like, no coaches down your neck, your parents aren't cooking your meals, whatever it is. And I was always into working out. I've tried everything from Orange Theory, booty camp, whatever you want to call it, you know, CrossFit, everything. I've done it all. And the only thing I really learned from it was I need someone yelling at me. That was it. I didn't learn anything about anything. I just knew that the only way I was going to get it done is if somebody told me what to do and how to do it.
Well, that's the athlete mentality. Growing up playing sports, you always have a coach telling you what to do and yelling at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I got it done. So it was great. Matt's very used to yelling at me, and I need him to. Basically what had happened, it was right after COVID, and I had gained a lot of weight. When I started my fitness journey, it was just one of those times that, like, I was just in, like, a bad state. I didn't like my job. I was gaining weight constantly. I wasn't doing anything to make my physical or mental health better. And, so, you know, just looking in the mirror one day, I was just, like, essentially grossed out and was just upset. So I made the change, and I called. Actually, it worked out really great. 100 was just switching from Shred to 100. And I had gotten an email because I had done Shred before. And then I stopped, and I just got in the email, like, come check it out. We'd at least, like, come take a walk around. And it was, like, right at the same time, like, all of this, I was thinking about it, but I wasn't making the moves. I got the email, so I went in. And filling out the, like, questionnaire was, like, it was a long questionnaire. It was, like, 10, probably 15 minutes to, like, complete the whole thing. But I really appreciated the level that it asked the questions of, like, where do you want to go? How do you want to get there? Are you actually willing and determined? And so it just, like, I don't know what it was, but a light switch, like, turned on and I was ready to go. Like, I was just completely dedicated. Came in, Matt, you were obviously my trainer for pretty much the majority of it. And I started at 170 pounds. That's where, like, my weigh-in was. And I was doing, and then you guys gave me
that's
my food.
I mean, you've come so far.
Yeah, it was a crazy transition. And I can say that I just followed everything perfectly to a T. I did not stray off course once for probably 4 to 5 months. Food plan, I bought the scale. I was weighing everything before I ate it. I ate exactly what was on the food plan. Like, even if I went out to eat, I wouldn't break it. If I was going to a friend's house, I remember I packed my meal with me. And even if I was, like, going to have dinner there, I just did it all perfectly.
You're a coach's dream. I'm telling you what.
Yeah, I like it wasn't me. I don't feel like it was me that did this. Like it was, it was you, really. Mm-hmm. Like you gave me the plan, and all I had to do was stick to it. Mm-hmm. You did my workouts, everything. So I, and then from there, I just learned along the way. Like now I no longer have to track my food or check my plan. The meal plan is still on my fridge. I do follow it when I know that I'm falling off course. Like I'll go right back. Like I'm like, okay, you've eaten out a lot. And I go right back to like changing out the foods that are on mm-hmm. there. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So there, you had one vice.
Yeah. Still have it.
Yeah. And that's fine. It's fine. But you came up with a very creative way that I, this is the thing, is like everyone thinks that the trainer comes with all the answers. Sometimes our trainees come with the answers, right? And I've used your situation with other people who have sweet tooths, mm-hmm. right? And said, I have a trainee that came up with a very clever way to, you know, still maintain the 90-10 rule, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so my vice is chocolate. I eat it absolutely every day. There's no way I don't eat it. I'm at the point where I feel like I need it after every meal, too. So,
right.
I knew that I couldn't eat it the way that I was, which was just downing chocolate bars whatever else during the workout plan. But one of the things on the plan, it says, too, like that you can have alcohol, but you have to be able to like substitute it out, essentially. And I decided that the alcohol vice was just my chocolate vice because I'm not a big drinker. So for me, I was like, okay, I just have to substitute it out. So I would leave a little bit specifically for my chocolate. But what I would do is just switch it out. So I bought chocolate like protein powder and I would make, you know, like a protein shake with the ice and everything. So it, and then I put like a little bit of whipped cream on top. So I felt like I was having like a milkshake instead of like a protein shake. I would do my chocolate bars, I would actually just break them out. So I knew that I got, everyone's seen like the Hershey bars, right? And you break off the top bit and it's got the three pieces. So those were my three pieces for the whole day. So after every meal or whenever I wanted that sweet tooth, I got one of those pieces and that's what I just savored each one. So yeah, at the end of the week, I had a full chocolate bar every week, but.
Hey, I thought it was one of the more clever ways to get that vice, scratch that itch, mm-hmm. you know? And like I said, I've had people that, you know, have struggled and I said, you know, if you can't wait till Saturday or Sunday to kind of have that cheat or that scratch that itch, here's another option for you. And mm-hmm. I've used it many times. Yeah. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. You help other people.
Oh, love that.
Well, we always say on this podcast, you know yourself best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that's one instance. Obviously, a trainer can take things they've seen in the past, things that's worked for them and help. But you knew yourself in that moment. And you were confident enough to say, okay, I know I need this. Let me find a way that I can do this and it can still work. Mm-hmm. And that's it can be done. And that's what I always tell people is, not necessarily because of that story, but one of the questions I always ask people when I make them a meal plan is, are there any food you can't live without? And there's a reason for that. Because if Matt had said to you, this is the plan, you have to follow it to a T, you have to quit your chocolate or you can't reach your goal, what would have happened?
I wouldn't have done it.
Exactly.
I would have just indulged with the chocolate when I needed it. Yeah, like, and the other part that I learned throughout this, like, my whole journey was that you don't really have to give up anything. And I think that's where people fall short when they're starting it, is they feel like they have to give up absolutely everything that they love, eating out, you know, their snack foods, whether, you know, Cheetos, chocolate, whatever it is. You don't have to. And you just have to, like, to be honest, like, I had to give it up for a little while, but you get it all back. Like, I completely eat the way that I used to eat. I just do it in moderation now.
Right.
And I've maintained for, I would say, about a year.
Yeah.
Without following the plan specifically. Just following it let me understand for a couple of months. And I got to start my progress. And then I was able to fall off the plan, but stay, like, on my, like, continue to progress and everything. So
you feel like you're kind of in the intuitive stage of eating where yeah. you can maintain. So talk to us a little bit about a lot of times when people get on meal plans, when things are good, it's not a problem. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It takes a while to adjust, but let's say they lock in, mm-hmm. and you locked in like immediately, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say immediately when I started with you guys, but I went through years of like starting, falling.
Right.
And I also knew that about myself, that like if I went on vacation, it was really hard to get back. I remember the first vacation I took, I told you, I was like, do not let me miss like the first day I get back. Cause that was my thing. I would go, I was like, oh, I'm doing great. I'm at the gym. And I go on vacation and I was like, I'll never see you in 3 months. Like, I got to start from scratch all over again. So,
well, I think that is the challenge of every person on the planet, is that it's not so, you know, when things are kind of lining up, life's lining up, you know, things are good at home, things are good at the job, mm-hmm. you know, that helps when you're in a positive mindset. Let's say you're going through a very difficult time, mm-hmm. you know, big stressors at home, you know, financial stress, job stress. That's when eating takes a different course, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine you've maintained it for a year without stress.
No, I'm stressed all the time.
So talk to us a little bit how you're managing that stress and not like just losing control of your nutrition.
Yeah, actually it was, and I remember specifically you telling me this when I came to the gym once, and it was telling me that I needed to let the gym be my space and my time. That work couldn't get to me, you know, like, because my phone wasn't near me. They can't touch me. They can't call me. None mm-hmm, of that. Mm-hmm. And I love my husband dearly, but, like, it wasn't his time. I wasn't sharing my time with him. This was just literally, this was 1 hour that I clock out, and everything here is for me. So that, even whether or not I'm working out, that, I think, has just stuck with me, that if I'm in a stressful place, I just need that me time. So mm-hmm. I start going on walks. Like, I was very adamant about the days that I wasn't working out, I at least did something. So I would just go on, you know, I'd walk my dog 2 to 3 miles. That was it.
Right.
So I think in the end, like, that was really the one thing, that if I start to get stressed, I do want comfort food. Mm-hmm. But now that I know how to eat comfort food properly, you know, whether it's popcorn's not terrible for you. It's not the best, but you can have like a little popcorn. You get a lot of cups for your calories at mm-hmm, least. Mm-hmm. So that was always really helpful, because I felt like I was getting a lot of my comfort food for very little.
I'll say popcorn's my kryptonite.
Yeah?
I love popcorn.
I didn't know that.
I love crappy popcorn.
Oh, good. Okay.
I love the terrible, nastiest butter on the planet popcorn. Then I'm talking about the stuff that's not even butter in the theater popcorn. Mm-hmm. So that if I go, I haven't been to the movie in probably 6 months, but when I go, I'm having that garbage.
It's in, got the bucket of popcorn is what it's saying.
That bucket of popcorn when your hands are oily, but I have it like every 3 to 6 months, so I'm not too worried about it. So, yeah. But I do love that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like probably in my top three of things that I like that is not good for me.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
My brother does a good job. He's a very stressed person as well, but he does a good job that whenever we are stressed, we'll call each other. And if we start to get down a venting road, the first thing we ask is, did you work out today? Mm. Because it really does. Like, it immediately changes your mood. My husband has said that about me for the last like 3 years. He's like, oh, maybe you should just go work out, you're kind of cranky. And I come back and I'm like full of energy and having a great day, and every, you know, flowers are blooming in my mind. So
that's true. That's so true.
Really,
I've seen like memes and stuff about that where the guy's like, oh, I'm so depressed, life sucks, and he goes to the gym and he works out and he's like, life is so wonderful. It's so, everything's so amazing.
It's like that video.
It's endorphins.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a video online that's like, did you eat healthy today? No. Did you drink any water? No. Did you go outside? No. Did you work out? No. And they're like, gee, I wonder why you're depressed. And
right.
It's so accurate. I mean, just do one of those and you're probably going to feel a little bit better. So I try to bring in genuinely just one of those. Go outside, get a walk in, or just go to the gym. Yeah. It doesn't have to be your best day at the gym, but you're damn well going to feel good that you went.
Boy, I'm liking this podcast already, because I'm going to be passing it out to all my friends about what is a model trainee and how she got her life in order. So I expect going forward, you're not going to let it drop off.
Because I'm trying not to.
Good, good, good.
If I was going to drop, it would have been in the last couple of months. And thank God you reached out to me because I was starting that path again.
Yeah.
So
tell me a little bit about, you talked about getting locked in, starting your journey, making the progress. You had a goal in mind. Mm-hmm. You hit your goal. And then you kind of transition to making it a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's a hard transition for a lot of people. A lot of people have a goal. They are locked in to get to their goal. They get to their goal, and then they fall off the wagon. So what was that transition period like of saying, oh, I'm at my goal. Now I just need to make it a lifestyle and maintain it?
Yeah, I think... So, yeah, I started at 170, and I went in with a weight loss goal of 145, I think, was my original.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And I got to 145, and the best part about it was, like, you make sure that there's always a goal. So I think that's kind of the answer, is that there always has to be some sort of goal. And I think you were the one that told me, and you're like, you got to work towards something or you're not going to work. Like, you're not going to do the work then. So I kept making more goals. I ended up dropping more weight, which was great. And then I got to the point, I remember I was like, I really want to be 135, and you and I were talking about it. And I sit at like 138. That's where I maintain mostly now. But you and I talked about it. It was like, losing more weight isn't going to be fun. It's not really necessary. I was very happy with how I looked. I was happy with, mm-hmm. you know, how I feel. And so then we kind of transitioned from, like, dropping weight to getting stronger. Like, making this more purposeful. It was great. I wanted to lose the weight. I got there. I feel good. But now, like, now it's really time to focus on
strength,
what it's all for. So now my goal, for the most part, is... My goal has always really been to stay healthy, which isn't the best goal. And you were the one who told me, like, it's got to be more specific. So now I have, like, actual goals of, like, I want to be able to do pull-ups or whatever that is. And a lot of it's just to be able to do my day-to-day, right? Like, I like playing sports. I like being able to bike with friends and not make it down the block and then fall off and be heaving. So,
well, I'll clarify, you know, number one, your goal is to make sure you give yourself that time each day.
Yes,
true. And I remember meeting with you. And I says, "This per I didn't know you that well when you first came in, but I was thinking this girl needs goals."
You were right.
Just in talking to you, so that's when I was like, "Okay, you need to give your workouts purpose."
Yes.
Right, and because I felt like without it, you're going to be wandering, and so you know. And it's like Parker was saying, is like, you know, everyone's going to have kind of different ways that they keeps them motivated. And I felt for you just saying, hey, we just want to be fit. That wasn't going to work.
No.
So that's why I was like, okay, let's have something you're focused on. But primary is when you come in, this is your time, mm-hmm. right? I don't want you to think at work. I don't want you to think about, you know, the fight you have with your husband. Just 1 hour, get it done. You're going to come out on the other side feeling better. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about, hey, you know, when I get to the, I've said it a million times, Parker's tired of me saying it, but when I get to that goal, I'm happy. Because that's not the way, but you just have a goal to guide you, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm the same way that I can't work out just to be in shape. I have to have something I'm working towards, and my workouts have focus. But I enjoy my time mm-hmm. in the gym. That's primary. So that, I think that's kind of give clarification for that communication we had 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has it been 2 years?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Cause you came in the beginning of Shred, and Shred started in 23. No,
yeah.
Shred. No, 100 started in 23.
I remember when I first started at Shred, you were there.
Yes.
And you were kind of a little spotty with your attendance.
It was very spotty.
And whatnot. And there was a period of time, I think, in the fall where you just, like, disappeared.
I did.
I didn't know what happened.
I got married, and...
Yes, that was
I had
okay.
the goal, like, up to my wedding, which, by the way, I did not hit. And then I had my wedding, and then exactly what I said. Like, I had my wedding, I went on my honeymoon, and I was like, see ya.
Well, what year was that?
2021.
Okay.
So then, you know, like she talked about earlier, we started the 100 model, and that's when she came back around and said, I think this is for me. Mm-hmm. And then kind of the rest is history, but that was the beginning of 2022.
Mm-hmm. So you came on in 2022?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like it was like essentially one whole year
that's right.
of working at my goals. And then it was like a year of just, I was so into working out that I just loved it. And I was, you know, I was just there and I enjoyed seeing you every day at that point. And
When did you start at Shred?
2021.
Man, almost 3 years. That's it seems like it's only been two, but it's been 3 years. So, okay. I was shortening the time frame thinking it's only been 2 years. But
so that was a long journey that you were staring down your goal. A lot of people don't have that kind of patience for a goal like that. How did you stay motivated that entire time?
I think two things. One, the people around me, for sure. My husband is just the most incredible guy and so supportive. So he kept me working at it, and he would, you know, if I didn't feel like cooking my meal that I needed to eat, he did, and he weighed it and he made sure I stayed on it because he knew how important it was to me. And obviously you guys around me, like, and I've said this so many times, but Matt, you just kept me on track. But the fact that you were invested in me and not just invested in me showing up to the gym and like paying the dues, right? Like that was a game changer. I had never had a gym that cared about my progress that way. And it's also why I left that gym, right? Because that completely changed for me. It was, you were focused on my nutrition. You asked me every day how I was doing. You knew my goals and you knew what I wanted when I came in. I wasn't just another member.
Right? You weren't, you wasn't like, this is just me against the world.
Yeah.
You had a team around you. You had your husband, you had our staff. And you know, so that support structure is very important. I mean, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I need people around me.
Yep.
Right. And you know, and me and Parker are both two individuals that are very invested in those around that come to us. Because we get just as excited as they do, you know, when they success, you know, it makes my month, right? You know, when someone's really getting there and they're happy and they feel better, you know, there's something, you know, what's the word for it? Kind of divine about it that, you know, you are now able to be a better wife, be a better servant of God, you know, all these different aspects that, you know, when you have low energy, you know, and you don't feel good, it just makes it harder to do all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So my support system, my friends, my family, all of them, everyone was really great. And then I think the second one, which I'm actually kind of shocked about, is tracking my progress, because I was then seeing it. Where I think a lot of people start working out and they're like, I just want to see it immediately, knowing that it wasn't going to be, right? You're not going to go to the gym for 2 weeks straight and then look amazing. But it was, I think it was 8 week check-ins is what we were doing. And I didn't want to, but I took photos at every 8 week check-in, same clothes. And we had the like progress sheets and I could see my body fat going down, my weight going down. And that was very motivating. Like if I wasn't seeing that progress, then I wouldn't know. And one of the things I took from something I tried before, which was like Noom, is I weigh myself every morning. So I really understood like how my weight worked as well. It was really hard. I didn't like seeing the number. Now I can't like, I can't not do it. I'm like searching for scales when I'm not like at home. But just being able to see like, okay, I indulged a little. And if I weighed in like at night, you know, overnight, I tend to lose like 2 pounds. It's very weird. So I know where I'm going to sit. It's never really a shock, and I kind of know how my body takes things. Because it's really weird to me, too, that you can just go up 2 pounds in one day, and then I can also drop 2 pounds the next day. But I think if I didn't do that every day, I would never have learned that. And then if I just weighed in and I was, like, 2 or 3 pounds heavier, I'd be, like, super frustrated. But I also know that I can
lose that. Well, a lot of people, because of that, they don't understand how the body fluctuates. Like, when you lose material from your body, right? You know, you go to the restroom a few times, you know, you're losing weight, right? And you know, when you eat, you know, and then also the gravity is different at certain times of the day. The earth is rotating, so you know, so the fact that you had that knowledge through, but it's a little risky weighing yourself every day, because some people can't get through that. I'm 2 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
What the heck? You know, and they're just like so frustrated. And, you know, and like, I've done that where I've kind of weighed myself constantly. I don't weigh myself very much anymore, but I weigh myself constantly. And I'll vary anywhere between 2 pounds below and 2 pounds above within 2 days, you know, and that's, but I understand what's happening.
Yeah. Right? Now I have like a number that if I see that on the scale, I know that I need to just do better this week, but I can lose, like I can get back to where I like to sit within that week. So it's like, okay, it's not that hard to not eat out in 1 week, you know, so.
Yeah, you don't want to let it get so far gone that like you have a limit. You're like, oh, okay, I'm approaching that line. I need to dial it back in. And as long as you know you kind of stay in that range, you're pretty good. And you can get back there pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you let go beyond that, that's when, okay, now we're talking about may have to get back on track for a while in order to get back there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that this journey came without some significant challenges. And one of the significant challenges that I knew about secondhand, because Matt would ask me multiple times, do you have any ideas what I can do to help out with this? And that was your knee, your knee injury. And it was a significant deterrent that was undermining some of your progress. Just talk to me about how you worked through that challenge while you were still trying to achieve your goal.
Yeah, so for everyone listening, I don't really know what's wrong with my knee.
Still an ongoing issue.
This is going on 2 years.
It just has no like strength behind it. I get these like shooting pains and certain, I don't know, movements, I guess, and things. So honestly, through my main journey, we did no legs. I did all upper body the entire time.
Yeah, because your knee was just...
There was just no way.
Yeah.
And then I had ended up doing some surgery, and I was doing like x-rays and MRIs through it.
You were going through physical therapy. I mean, it was I remember, because I was just as frustrated as you were. You know, I wanted answers, and, you know, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I might be wrong about this, but it was almost like they went in and did surgery not knowing what they were going to find.
Exactly. Yep. They had like seen, and obviously, you know, but like the weakness of it and the shakiness of the knee. So they saw that it really wasn't doing well. And we checked all the boxes, we tried everything else. So they were willing to go in blind for surgery to just see what was going on. And basically they just said that there was a lot of scar tissue behind the kneecap. And there was, I'm going to say it wrong, I think it was like just like a part of maybe the muscle that was like kind of like flapping. So they cut that off, thinking maybe that was just causing some like discomfort. So cleaned it out really, and I was good in like 6 weeks. PT, did a bunch of PT and stuff, and it's just not really gotten any better. So
what was better for about 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, I guess after surgery it felt really good, and then all of a sudden it went right back to where it was.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of back at that, but we are working at it. Matt made a lot of modifications for me too, which was really nice. But in the end, I think that made me had to focus even harder on nutrition. Cause I know sometimes like leg days, that's when you got to indulge a little bit, cause you were burning a lot more. I did not have that.
So. Your leg days, you don't burn that much.
No. So I didn't eat pasta at all. I never had like, I didn't, you know, I was just staying away from all the carbs for the most part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, honestly, we just modified and we took legs out, and I was still able to hit all of my goals.
Yeah.
And my upper body changed massively. My legs, I think maybe like gained some muscle, but.
Well, you have some muscle loss in your, you know, it's somewhat noticeable.
Yeah. We did see that.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, we have after all that exhaustive 2 years, we now have got, we're trying some new things, and so far we're able to, you're able to do those things without too much discomfort. So
yeah, I'm really excited. I've just been wanting to get it back to at least where the other leg is, so.
Yeah, I think it's just going to have to be slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, with your knee, it's been a mystery, And I think we can get it strong. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
Yeah. Kind of answering your question though, Parker. I think knowing that you can make adjustments and that even if you do have something kind of holding you back, it doesn't have to hold you back 100%. And also having a trainer that knew that was super helpful, because I think if I was trying to do this on my own, not being able to do legs or anything with my legs, I think I would have given up earlier. But you don't have to. Like, you can do other things. So just knowing, like, you probably do. Everyone's probably got a setback somewhere. So.
Well, the fact that, I mean, that's a good point that Parker brings up, because having a knee injury can mess up your nutrition, you know, because I know some people that take advantage of leg day and they kind of eat a little bit more that day, or, you know, and, you know, sometimes when you're just doing arms, you know, they're not as big of calorie hit. So, mm-hmm. You know, but you, as we talk about this, you know, you've managed a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not to take away from anybody else, because everyone has their challenges. And so that doesn't either add or take away from your situation. You've had just as many difficulties maintaining it. So it speaks something to you as an individual, because me and Parker have given many people lots of support, but there's something, a missing component. Maybe it's not being able to, they don't have the support at home. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there's something lacking in their willpower. There's something missing. You know, Parker talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It's like some people just don't have it, mm-hmm. right? When things get tough, you'll see them disappear. And that, yeah. and you had that during the time that we were there until I had to depart.
Well, some people, they are looking for excuses. Yeah. They're just waiting for a good excuse to come along, it seems like. And when something comes along, they make the excuse, they fall off the wagon. But the mindset you had, Catherine, was, I don't care what comes along, I'm not going to allow it to be an excuse. Mm-hmm. Because that knee injury, I mean, that's a significant hurdle. Significant, most people, yeah. You know, most people would not even come in at all. They'd say, well, because of my knee pain, I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And they would allow that to be an excuse, and you didn't. And I think that's the most powerful part of it. It's just, I don't care what it is. For other people, it's probably not a knee injury, it's something else. Mm-hmm. But everybody's got something. Some people's hurdles are bigger than others. Don't let it be an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a testament. Your situation is a testament. Yeah. Of course, I'm not going to give you any break going forward.
No,
but
I'm well aware of that, yeah. No, I think it's like, for me, again, it had to, like, that switch had to flip. And you have to want it more than anything, because you just can't go in if you're going to do a full weight loss journey, like, kind of, you know, half-assed in any way. You mm-hmm. really do have to. For me, that was my rock. Like, that was my bottom. Mm-hmm. I was so unhappy with how I looked and everything. And for the most part, my one goal, too, is to like my body. It's no fun disliking what you see in the mirror every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even on days where I maybe am higher in weight, but if I can look in the mirror and I'm like, you know, you look good. I'm fine with it then. But yeah, you have to be ready to do it all. You have to go all in. You can't be kind of wanting it a little bit.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it really is.
And that's the way you have to treat it. And the other thing that you said earlier I wanted to touch on, you said you know, you're around 138, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, you could get to down to 130, but then it starts to become, you have to kind of balance life, mm-hmm. you know, and being at, you know, 20 to 22% body fat for a girl, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want something manageable in a very stressful life, you know, trying to get down to like 12 or 14% for a girl is like, is that really that necessary? You know, right. Then because then you're talking a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. Right. And you look good. You feel good. That's what's important. So,
yeah, I agree. finish up with a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
Not lengthy discussions, but just some things I'm curious about. First, you talked about your love of chocolate. What is your favorite form of chocolate?
Kinder Buenos.
Kinder Buenos.
What is that?
Hazelnut. Gosh, I don't. I'm gonna bring you guys some. They're so good. They're. I don't know. It's like they're little, they look like bumps. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like kind of a Twix bar, but if it had like camel humps.
Oh, okay.
Kinder Buenos.
Kinder Bueno.
Buenos.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what do they taste like?
In the middle is like essentially just hazelnut. So basically like a Nutella style filling on top of like a wafer with like a coated chocolate. Okay, now I described it better. You can take out the bumps camel hump thing there.
I was like, camel humps?
Where do you
like,
get those at?
You can get them anywhere. Yeah, you can like they're probably at your local store or whatever. So
good to know.
Yeah.
So do you ever like just break off one of the bumps and like that was your
post
meal?
For sure. That was what I had to do for a little while. So yeah. But now I do really I'm like, oh, I can have a sleeve a while. They're so good. There's like four bumps that you can break off on a sleeve.
Okay.
They're like the size of if you got like a full size Twix bar, there's like two. Yeah.
So it was like you did like a Hershey bar at one time, right?
I usually, yeah. Throughout my process, I stuck with Hershey's because they were easy.
Yeah, so. And then you took a little Hershey like this and had it after a meal, like the little shape that they broke off at.
Yeah, so it broke like the top bit, and then I got the three pieces, and I would eat one of those three pieces after the meal.
Okay,
and
then you said you now eating a sleeve.
Yeah, I mean. If I'm getting a Kinder Bueno, because those are like treats. Oh, I don't have a Kinder Bueno every day by any means.
Oh, okay.
Kinder Bueno is like every, you know, that's my big
I didn't
win.
Know what a sleeve of chocolate was, so that's why I was kind of clarifying. Are you talking just eat the whole Hershey bar after each meal?
No. You get one tiny.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
One tiny good. Rectangle is what you get.
Or you could be like, Matt, have two Snickers bars.
Oh, you're coming at me now.
Hey, that was very first. But I will say I love Snickers bars. I haven't had any since. Well, no, I take that back. My wife bought me. Quick note. My wife knew I had these two Snicker bars. And, of course, I had them. And I was really pumped when I went in there. And then a major crash. I was exhausted. So then my wife, like a week later, she brings me a couple Snickers bars. I said, what are you doing? Don't buy me this. Of course I ate them, but, I said, don't buy me any more of these things. So
I'm going to bring you a Kinder Bueno next week.
Okay. All right. I'll
He'll leave the second sleeve for you then, Parker.
Okay. You better leave it for me, man.
All right. No problem.
Okay. Second question. What is your favorite exercise to do in the gym?
I like, what's that thing?
What are you pointing at?
The ones with like the four go rounds. Like you sit and you do the rows and like the triceps and the biceps.
Oh, the cables?
There you go. I just like anything on the cables. I probably whine less on cables if you've noticed.
Yeah. That's probably makes sense. Yeah. I let you do a little cables, probably 30% of what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just like anything on the cables for whatever reason.
Yeah. The nice thing about the cables is the constant tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter where you're at in the movement, you've got the constant tension, unlike a free weight or a dumbbell.
Right.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay. If you had to do it, or if you had to pick one, 100 burpees or 10 sled pushes, which would you rather do?
10 sled pushes.
Really?
I hate burpees. No, I would. Absolutely. That sounds way fair. Give me 10 sled pushes right now.
So yesterday, in the middle of her, after 30 reps, so that little exercise we were doing here at the cables where I made her pull. She didn't get any modifications like people are doing modifications today, but she had to lay on her back and pull herself off the floor with the TRX cables. She got 30 reps in, and she said, please, give me an option. I'll do anything.
What was the option that you gave?
I told her she could do the curl pyramid.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the 10 down to 1,
yeah.
ISO 1, and then together. And she just started doing them again.
She started going.
That's like one of my favorite things as a trainer, when people will ask, oh, is there something different I can do, or can I do less or whatever. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll make you a deal. And the deal is never a better deal.
It's never a better deal, but I do love a negotiation. So. Yeah.
But just the opportunity for a deal
is worth it.
Yeah. So then I offer it and they say, I'm going to go back to doing what I'm doing.
Sometimes you just need to know what's worse out there. And then you're like, you know what? This is really nice of you. Thank you.
I think I said, you really feel this is going to be better for you? And you're like, no, probably not.
I just needed to know there was something worse waiting for me on the other side.
And then you just started going.
Made it through.
Yeah. She made it through. So I think she averaged 10 every minute.
Mm. I'm slow. Look, I got a lot of ways to go here on getting strong. But
yeah.
I'm showing up. That's what I'm proud of right now.
That's right. Yeah, it took you. I think you did 30 fairly quick, and then the last few took you.
It was, honestly, I remember after like the 10 to 20, I think was the hardest. I was ready to give up.
Yeah, you were at 14. You're like just laughing because you're like, I can't even believe I'm going to be able to do this.
I was shocked.
Yeah. So,
last question, a little bit deeper note here. What is your secret to happiness?
Oh my gosh, really driving that
philosophical.
I am a people person. So, like friends, family, kind of going back to that like support system, anything I can do to be with them, that always just brings me joy. I'm that person who. My poor husband, he's an introvert, and sorry, I know I talk about him a lot, but like he loves his alone time, and I'm just like, where are you going? Do you want to hang out? What are you doing today? Like, oh, you're going to the grocery store? I'll come with you.
Yeah. He tries to walk out the door, and you're like, huh, I'm coming with you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think, and then we do like family dinners with my brother and sister-in-law, who are our best friends, and my two fabulous nephews, so like... I don't know. It's just being like around them and my family and my friends, like just being with them is genuinely where I find myself most happy. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
This was a great episode.
Well, it's very good. I'm excited to put it up.
Thanks.
So, well, we'll get back on track and next week we'll make sure we have the 10 sled pushes.
Parker, what'd you do?
I didn't say that she had to do one.
What the heck, man?
I said if you had to choose.
Oh man.
What would you choose?
What setting is the sled on?
What kind of sled? The tank or the old sled?
Well, how heavy is the old sled loaded up?
I'd have to do at least 8 plates.
8 plates. I think I would do the 100 burpees, honestly.
He's got pretty decent cardio.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, 10 down and backs, like that's...
It's a lot.
That I think I could do the burpees quicker. That's kind of my thought there.
Yeah. No, I just like... now, if you were to have that tank, I'd do that all day long.
Well, on the heavy setting...
Yeah, I did 25 one time on the heavy setting when I was here, so.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to race someday. I'll do the burpees, you do the sled.
Oh, my gosh.
See if it's sincere.
Yeah, he'd smoke me right now. I don't have the cardio I used to have.
I don't know.
So. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, guys, and we will be back with you next week with another episode.
All right. Take care, guys.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.